Good morning, everyone. Richard Solomon on Taking Care of Business, TCBRadio.com, 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. From time to time, I love to take out old tapes that I have in the old shoebox. And this is just one of those moments where we're going to dig into the back of the rack. Even though this is old, it's actually new for the radio. So sit back, relax, keep it locked in, and enjoy. Thanks for listening.
My name is Dave. I'm a compulsive gambler, and I gambled from age 13 to age 37. I have not gambled for the last 30 years and 10 months. When I gambled, gambling was glamorous. It was something I could do, and nobody really recognized that I was a compulsive gambler. I was valedictorian in high school. I was dean's list in college. I passed the professional license, 1, 2, 3, and I had the world by the you know what. But gambling ruined my life. At age 25, I was broke, and I thought that, I'd be able to get a bailout, and so I went to see some bad people. And I got that bailout, promising not to ever gamble again until I got the money in my hand. And then it was, I got to pay these guys back. I got to go out and gamble to make more. And so the story continued to go for another 10, 11 years. At age 37, with no place in my life to go, I called Gamblers Anonymous and I said, help me, please, just help me. I surrender. And I can't believe the amount of help that I got. They taught me a new way of life. They taught me how to not gamble. They taught me about the buddy system when I get an urge to call somebody instantaneously. And so far for me, it's worked 30 years. It's terrific.
Now, just while we're here, if someone needed to make a call right now, what's the number they call?
631-586-7171. I repeat, 631-586-7171, 24-hour hotline.
Now, is there also a nationwide number?
1-800-GAMBLER is a nationwide number for anybody outside of the area.
Because our show is broadcast all over the internet, so we have you're talking to all of America. So again, it's 1-800-GAMBLER.
1-800-GAMBLER for Nassau and Suffolk County. The number is 631-586-7171.
Is there a website people can go to get information to?
www.gamblersanonymous.org.
Now, let's go back to your story, because it usually what happens, just like AA and any other organization like that, you have to hit bottom. So what is it that happened in your life that you hit bottom and then that made you finally realize that you had a problem? How much money did you owe? And what is it that did it where you finally said, you know what, I need help?
I don't think it was the amount of money that I owed, because I had the knack to always get money. I was going insane. I couldn't think of the last bet that I made. I would make lots of bets with bookmaker, and I didn't know if I won or lost. I couldn't even think anymore. I couldn't think straight. I couldn't sleep at night. I was up almost 24 hours a day, and my life was just insane. And I was what they call a closet gambler. My wife of 15 years at that time did not ever know that I gambled. I brought home enough money for her to live on every week. And I was the accountant, and I took care of our money.
And you were an accountant.
Absolutely. This has nothing to do with intelligence, compulsive gambling is an illness that strikes any age, any race, any intelligence level.
What were you gambling on? Was it horses? Was it poker? Was it internet? How were you? What were you gambling? I mean,
it didn't matter.
Anything
they,
at all?
They didn't have internet at that time. I played cards. I went to the racetrack. I gambled with bookies on sporting events. If you and I were standing at an elevator, I would say to you, which one do you think is going to come down first? And if whatever, whichever one you took, I take the other. Because I needed action, constantly needed action.
And then, how much money when you finally hit bottom? I mean, I know it wasn't money.
It's not the amount of money. It doesn't matter. It's a huge amount of money. But it's not, it doesn't really matter.
It's a state of mind.
If you make $500 a week and you bet $600, it's trouble. If you make $5,000 a week and you bet $6,000, it's trouble. The amount of money is not really relevant. You don't gamble for money. Somebody once said to me, if I gave you the winners of all 9 races at Aqueduct, would you be satisfied? And the answer was no. What would be the thrill? What would be the challenge? To give you the money, walk up to the window and collect? That's not what gambling's all about. Action is what is needed by a compulsive gambler.
Well, what do you get out of the gambling? What is the for people who may not be...
The high that you get out of gambling is higher than any drug or alcohol you can drink. And it's an invisible disease. Nobody in my community, nobody in my place of worship, nobody in my family knew who I was. When I was winning, I was a nice guy. When I was losing, I was irritable. And people could not figure out my dual personality.
Amazing story. But you changed your life around. How long have you been a member of Gamblers Anonymous?
30 years, 10 months, and 3 weeks, and clean from day one.
Amazing, incredible. And it can ruin your life, and it could also save your life. And Gamblers Anonymous is an organization that will save your life.
There's an organization that is called Gammonon, G-A-M-A-N-O-N. And this organization meets alongside of Gamblers Anonymous rooms, and it is for the family of all compulsive gamblers, wives, girlfriends, children. This organization works in conjunction to help the compulsive gambler stop gambling. And they have their own hotline, and their number, 24 hours a day, is 631-321-2883. Now, just to be honest with you guys, most compulsive gamblers come into Gamblers Anonymous through their wives saying, I'm fed up. You're out of here. I'll give you one more shot. Go to Gamblers Anonymous or else. And the man usually will say, you call Gamblers Anonymous. So that most of the calls on the hotline come from the beloved wife. And there is an organization for her to help her.
Great. Good information. Let's move on to our friend Jim, if you can get closer to the mic. You can move the mic closer to you. Let's make it easier.
Great, thanks.
And Jim, welcome to our show.
Well, thank
you. It's
not
his real name. Why don't you tell us your story?
Sure. I went into Gamblers Anonymous 148 days ago, and I haven't gambled since. And my life has changed just very quickly in 148 days for the better. You know, I was I came in right around the beginning of the year because I was tired or sick, you know, sick and tired of being sick and tired, as they say, like Dave was talking about earlier. You know, I was just running around trying to make sure the checks wouldn't bounce. It was right around Christmas time. I wanted to make sure, you know, I ended up blowing a lot of my Christmas money on at the track, and it was just very embarrassing. And so my family really didn't, you know, expect much of me. And people have noticed just in a very short period of time how my life is changing for the better.
What was it that brought you to Gamblers Anonymous? What was the junction point? Was there one event, or was this the cumulative effect? Were you pushed, and were you just in a bad environment?
That's a great question. There's always, people are always looking for that one thing that makes you say, "That's it, I'm going to Gamblers Anonymous." I actually went to GA when I was 22 years old, and I didn't stay. And when I was walking out the door, I was getting phone calls from the guys, and they said, "Jim, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to make more money, and you're going to gamble more money." So that's exactly what I ended up doing. And eventually, I just couldn't take it anymore. And all the, you know, the more money I made, the more I gambled, the more my lifestyle progressed. And, you know, just one day, it was just, I woke up and I said, "That's enough. I had enough of this, and I know there's help out there for me."
When did you start gambling originally?
You know, that's funny you say that. I didn't remember it, but I was having, I went back and started thinking back to my earliest childhood memories. I was 9 years old when I started gambling. And every Friday night, my family and I used to go food shopping. And the big thrill of the night was we used to get scratch-offs. And we used to all sit there as a family and do our scratch-offs together. And that was when I was 9 years old.
Now, scratch-offs, that's for the lottery.
That's correct.
Now, people get hooked on that stuff. I mean, I see people going in the lottery, spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars every week because they think that they're going to hit, and they don't have that money.
Well, that's funny you say that. It's not funny that it's happening, but a good friend of my mother's, actually, she recently told my mother that she plays $5 a day. So my mother said, "Well, listen, let me help you out. Why don't I play your numbers for you because you don't drive?" And so she held her money for a year. And at the end of the year, she said, "How much would you want to win?" And she said, "I'd love to win about $300 right now." She says, "Well, how about $1,500? And she handed her 300 days of $5. And she said, "This is what you've given me the last 300 days." And she couldn't believe it. She couldn't believe it.
And that's just $5 a day.
That's
now,
right.
See what happens when you're putting, you know, $20, $100 in money that you don't have.
That's right.
And then if you put it in a bank or an investment and you're actually making some interest on it and it's growing, then, you know, things really happen to you. So you saw, and this is what happens to a lot of people in America. They see their parents gambling, and lottery is gambling, everybody. You know, and the chances of you winning are not that great. And that money is going down the toilet, and you start doing it right there. What about poker? Did you play poker with your friends, you know, just when you were 15 years old or anything?
Sure,
like that?
I was playing poker with everybody. We used to play all the time in basements. It was a lot of fun, you know, so to speak. And we had a great time. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was all just, you know, once I started losing, it wasn't much fun. And then we used to always leave, you know, playing poker. And we used to go to Roosevelt Raceway at the time. And, you know, I got addicted to the horses. I was a big horse player, and I just went to the track every day and every night after that.
Now, but people can play horses. You don't have to go to the track. I'm not a real gambler, but people go, I see it all over the place. You can go into off-track betting. You can do it online, and you can lose a lot of money.
Yeah, they're great. They've brought it right into our home now, so they can make it real easy for us now. You know, I'm not that internet savvy. A lot of the younger kids are in program. I'm 38 years old, but the 22-year-olds, the 18-year-olds, I really feel for them because nowadays there's a casino in their living room. I mean, this is right in their house. And when I was growing up, you had to take a ride, you had to go somewhere, you had to get out of the house and do it. But nowadays it's right in their living room. And I feel terrible for them.
I have a question. Is the urge to gamble sort of like a craving?
Yeah, you know, it is. It's an insidious disease. It comes up when you least expect it. Something good will happen, and you'll say, "Wow, you know, you just end up putting money down out of nowhere," and then all of a sudden something bad will happen, and and you'll put money down on something and just hoping for a hit, that type of thing.
But you got to win every now and then or else you wouldn't come back, isn't it? I mean, that's the thing that you crave for is like, wait a minute, I won $1,000. Now I'm going to win $10,000.
Sure.
I mean, if you lost all the time, you would think you would not come back.
That's a great point you're making. I remember it very well, my first quote-unquote win. I was 15 years old. And three horses ran around the track at Roosevelt Raceway, and at 15 years old, I collected $400. So that was it. I was chasing that race ever since then.
I mean, that's like having an orgasm right there. It's like, boom, you know, I want more of this. Give it to me. And then you're hooked. You want more, and then you're going bigger and bigger and bigger. How do you break your cycle? How do you get out of it? I mean, because you do the poker, you do the lotto, you do, and lotto is gambling. Then you do horse racing. What else do you gamble on?
Well, like Dave said, I mean, I would gamble on anything. If two roaches came running by the floor right now, if I was in action, I'd be saying, which one do you think would hit the wall first? And I'd be throwing down money. I would gamble on anything. And, you know, whether it was a nice day was a day at the track, a rainy day was a day at the casino. It didn't matter what the weather was or anything. I just gambled.
Well, with the stock market and all the things that don't feel like gambling, you know, when you go to a casino or a lottery, you kind of know horses. But what about the urge or the temptation to be speculative in things like real estate, stock market, buying and flipping, arbitrage? Where does that all come into this?
Well, let's understand something first. Not every person is a compulsive gambler. There are people who can take risks with money that they could afford. And they, for them, it's okay. The compulsive gambler can't do any of those things because if it should come out good, he's now on a winning streak. I listened to Rick before, and I had 46 losing races in a row. And on the 47th, I won $16. And I was clapping my hands and saying, I'm on a winning streak. I am on a winning streak. Here we go. Every day that a compulsive gambler gets up is the day that he's going to get even. And the truth of the matter is, he gets even worse.
Good point. Even worse, you don't get even, you get deeper in, and the feeling doesn't go away. I mean, it's like drinking. I can only have, you know, that one little beer, and then it turns into more and more and more, and that's why it's compulsive. You can't control yourself. So the question is, how do these meetings work? I mean, again, at a certain point, Jim, you hit bottom. You knew that you were not in control. Your life was going in the toilet. What did it for you that made you realize, you know what, I need help?
That's a great question. You know, first of all, I knew they were there. So I knew that there was help for me. But it was just this, my life, by all outward appearances, I am a total, quote unquote, normal human being. And you would never know I have an insidious, baffling disease and a mental illness as a compulsive gambler. I'm a school teacher. I was formerly a stockbroker. I mean, you know, people would never look at me and say, you're a compulsive gambler. But I knew, for me, I, thank God, never did anything illegal. And they call that the yets. This is what you haven't done yet. And, you know, for me, I was, you know, bouncing my nephews and nieces' Christmas checks was, you know, really humiliating. You know, just my car falling apart and me spending $5,000 at the raceway, but not $200 to fix my car. I mean, this is the way I was thinking. And I just said, I can't think like this anymore. I need help. And that's what brought me into GA.
So once again, the numbers to that, the local numbers and the national numbers that people can reach. Why don't we get that out and also the website?
Okay. The national number is 1-800-GAMBLER. And the local number is 631-586-7171. And the website is www.gamblersanonymous.org.
And there are organizations all across Long Island and all across New York City and I guess all across America. Now, how many times we're going to talk about this do people meet My guess is if I was a gambler, it's hard to make that first step. It's hard to finally say, hey, I need help, and then go, you know, make that call. And then after our break, you'll tell us how that works, how you get them in, how you get them to feel safe as well.
You are listening to Taking Care of Business on 88.1 WCWP, WCWP.org, and TCBRadio.com. Rick Frischman, Richard Solomon, welcome back everyone to Taking Care of Business. And today we're taking care of your personal business. We're talking about gambling. Our show is about the problems of gambling and how to get help. This is probably one of the most important shows we could probably ever do, because if you feel that you're a compulsive gambler and you need some help, this is the show to reach out to you, to your friends, spouses, people in your family. If there's someone affected, we want you to know that there are resources out there. There's support, there's help, and there are two people here who have lived through it and have gone through the hell of the experience, and they want to share their pain and their successes with you so that it'll make a difference in your life.
And this is, you know, I'll tell you, this has been a really great show because I think we're educating people, but also we're going to give people some help. And I am sure there are thousands of people in Long Island alone who need this help and who are right now very close to the bottom. Right now, feel that they have nowhere to go, that they have lost everything, and most importantly, have no control of their life. And it's a state of mind where my guess, and thank God I haven't been there, some people out there listening to the show who are feeling this are thinking about committing suicide, are thinking in our divorce, about thinking about running away, especially if you're a youngster, you're a teen, and you have lost all control. And the key thing is there is help available. And we're talking to people on the web all across America. There's help in every city. There are organizations in every city. There are meetings going on. I guess it must be, you know, throughout the whole week, so that, you know, you don't have to think, well, it's Sunday and I can't call because it's a day people are in church. Wrong. When you need it, you got to make that call now. Before you do something, you know, worse, before you hurt someone in your family, and before you end up going to jail, or God forbid, you know, the bad guys get you. And this happens. I mean, I have a friend who embezzled. I mean, we'll talk about it. Several hundreds of thousands of dollars, and that's what happens when you're an accountant or a bookkeeper. Often, these are the ones that get into it, because even worse, because they are given trust. They know where the money is, and they open up these accounts, and it's amazing how smart they are. It's amazing what they can do to get the money away from their company. If they use that same smarts to do something good, they'd probably be millionaires. But the problem is they're going deeper and deeper and deeper, and then they're going to the bad guys. And you know, if they're lucky, they end up going to jail. If they're unlucky, they're at the bottom of a river. And this is really serious stuff, besides the fact that their family is ruined, their marriage is ruined, and they have no self-esteem. So, you know, you don't feel bad that you're the only one out there. There are, and I guess it's unfortunate, but there's thousands and thousands of people. Guys, how many people, do you have figures on that? I mean, how many people in America have this kind of problem?
Well, they say one out of 32 people have a gambling problem in the United States today. And that is more than quadrupled in the last 10 years, because with every piece of or new method of gambling, the statistics are just getting worse and worse. And the biggest problem that we face today is teenage gambling, because what is normally heard is a parent saying, oh, I know where my son is. He's downstairs playing cards. He's not out there with those bad guys, and he's not doing drugs, and he's not drinking. But what the parent doesn't realize is that once he gets hooked on the gambling, if he should win in gambling, who's going to get him next? The drug dealer's going to find him with all his money, and what he got from gambling, which is a high, he can also get from taking cocaine or crack, because that's what the money would do. He's not going to give away. You don't give away gambling money unless you get something for it, a high. You're not going to go buy. No one wins and stops and says, okay, that's it. I quit. I won $10,000. I'm never doing that again. Those cases are few and far between.
Are there any figures out there? I mean, you would think people who have a sickness, and this is a sickness, they would be more apt to become an alcoholic, more apt to be taking cocaine, drugs, etc. Now, if they do get a big win, as you just said, hey, I got 10 grand. I didn't have it yesterday. I'm going out and I'm gonna spend it. Is it very apparent in what you've seen that these kids in particular go out and get high? I mean, like, if they're just smoking dope, that's one thing. But if you're getting cocaine, now you're getting hooked, and heroin and other stuff. Is this very apparent?
Yes. It's apparent because you have an addictive personality, so that you find other people who are addictive. And that's really the understanding that the parent must find out. You know, it's nice for 14-year-old kids to sit and play poker every Friday night in the house. However, and the parents subsidize this game. They bring in the pretzels, they bring in the potato chips, and they're ecstatic. They're seeing social interaction of their kids, and they know exactly where their kids are. But they don't really understand what damage they're doing. One out of eight teenage kids today gambles.
So let's ask this. Let's say the kids are not playing cards in the basement. What does a parent need to know to identify a child, a teenage child, who is on the verge of a gambling problem or has a gambling problem if they don't see it? What are the signs that they can tell?
Okay. That's a great question. The parents should be looking for some of the following things. Problems in school. All of a sudden, a good student becomes a poorer student because gambling takes time. The biggest thing that a compulsive gambler loses is the time that he could never replace. For me, I gambled from age 13 to 37, and I lost my entire teenage years. I lost the early years of my marriage and saw my kids grow up. My kids were 11 and 14 when I came into the program. And my daughter said to me one day, she said, you know, you never went to one of my dance recitals. I said, well, I was always working. I was always busy. And she said, no, maybe you were really gambling. Let's tell it the way it is. And that's, so number one, you can see educationally that the marks start to drop. Second of all, you become a loner and you start to, you know, I don't want to socialize, or I only want to socialize with people who gamble, so that I don't want to go to any intellectual event. I want to go to a gambling establishment or something to do with that. Emotionally, that you just don't grow, because gambling is an escape mechanism. You escape all the difficult things that you don't want to see. Recreational, as I said, you don't want to go where the rest of the group goes. And then there's the financial problem. And today, with identity theft, we have many people who call the Gamblers Anonymous hotline and say, My son forged my name on my credit card to play on party poker time. And what do I do? If I call the credit card company, they're going to arrest him. So what do I do? If you bail him out, honey, it's going to happen again, and it's again. There's got to be some responsibility for the actions that he took.
Well, that leads to the following next question. Let's say you've identified that you have some suspicion that your kid is probably got a problem. What is the best way for a parent to do the confrontation? All right, what's the way to actually do it more effectively? Is it getting the kid arrested? Is it, not bailing them out? Or, what do you do?
First thing that a parent really has to do is to open the lines of communication with the child and to let him understand that we're not here to punish you, we're here to help you, and we love you. That's the first thing. The second thing is a parent has to really take a hard look of what their feelings are individually about gambling, because many a person has come into Gamblers Anonymous after having gone to the racetrack with his father, and that's where he learned to gamble. So if the father and mother are going every weekend to Atlantic City and they take the kids along and say, well, here's $50, go play, and don't bother me, well, you know what? That has to stop. We have to set some rules and regulations and responsibilities. And we have to provide healthier means of recreation for our children. This is not healthy.
So does it make sense? Does the whole family go into Gamblers Anonymous? If you're the parent and you're going to Atlantic City every weekend and you find your kid in the
parents should attend a Gammonon meeting to understand what makes the compulsive gambler tick. Now, we have a specific program at South Oaks Hospital on Tuesday night in the library in Griffin Hall. It is only for teenagers from 16 to 25.
Is this every Tuesday night you do this?
Every Tuesday night. It's been open for 12 weeks now. And we believe that we will have the largest meeting on Long Island within 1 year from today.
Well, let's get that word out again. If people want to find out about this specific program,
they can call us at 586-7171, area code 631. It's every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock in Griffin Hall at South Oaks Hospital in Amityville.
Fantastic. Now, there are probably meetings like this going on all across the America as well. Once again, how can people find out about meetings? If you're not on Long Island, how do you get to them?
Well, that's a great question because, as I mentioned, I just came in program 148 days ago, and I needed a lifeline. So I called the hotline number. I called, information 411, asked for Gamblers Anonymous. And then I also actually followed up my call with this. I went on to Google and I punched in Gamblers Anonymous just to find out, to follow up my call.
Okay. And once we get back from the break, we're going to take a break in a little while. I want to talk about, once again, what process happened to you when you finally went in, and this man here, Dave, is your coach, right?
He's my sponsor.
And he helped you, and he's your lifeline now. Mm-hmm. So what are the things that happened when you first got there? I want you to walk us through it. What did he say to you? How did you feel? How did it change your life? So that people listening who have a problem understand that there is help available. And exactly what happens, when they get there. It's not, you're scared. We understand that, but good things can happen.
You are listening to Taking Care of Business on 88.1 WCWP, WCWP.org, and TCBRadio.com.
Thank you.
with Rick Frischman and Richard Solomon. The show is Taking Care of Business, and today we're talking about gambling and the problem of compulsive gambling.
Well, absolutely, and this has ruined a lot of lives. A lot of people are in jail. A lot of people are now lost their jobs, lost
their homes,
lost their wives. Actually, interesting question I was thinking about. Let me turn your mic on. I always say lost their wives, but I'll bet you there are a lot of women that are compulsive gamblers as well. Do you think, give us some ideas about that.
Well, first of all, you said I'll bet you. We don't bet.
We don't say that.
We don't bet.
We can't edit.
And we're quick to tell you that we don't bet because it's really important for us to establish in our relationships the fact that we don't gamble. It's okay for you to, but it's not about...
I can't even believe I said that. That's terrible.
Thank you for correcting me. We have been increasing our population of women within the last couple of years based on one simple fact. Gambling is legal. And so a woman many years ago would not run to a bookmaker because she was afraid of her life. Today, you see in Atlantic City more women than there are men. You see on the internet more women than there are men. But somehow women have more ways to access money, and it takes them a lot longer to get into the program. That's been changing and changing slowly. And again, we will probably double our population of women within the next 5 years because women are stealing from themselves the food money that the husband gives them to go and go into the grocery store. It's so tempting for people with 25 lottery tickets standing in front of you saying, win $10,000 for life. You could be the lucky one. All right, so I'll invest a dollar, or I'll invest $2. So women get lured into this by, you know, the advertising that's being done.
You know, it's funny. Someone just tuned in and heard you talking how, boy, we're bringing more and more women in the organization. You'd think, well, this is a great thing. We are an equal opportunity organization here. But, hey, that's a bad thing. We're getting, you know, now more women are gambling. More women are throwing away their lives. And it's so easy. And kids. And the key thing we really want to stress here is that teens now are starting so much younger at 10 years old. You said you started at 9 years old, and they are watching you, parents out there. They see you buying these lottery tickets. They see you when you're, you know, betting, and if you're having a gambling going on in your house. I remember growing up, we had every Friday night, my parents had a huge poker game, and they had chips, and you know, it was all for fun. But you know what? A lot of people, you know, it wasn't fun anymore, and it can ruin you. So Jim, if you could tell us what happened when you finally realized you needed help, what did Gamblers Anonymous do for you? How did you meet Dave? What did he say to you? And then how did you go to the people that you owed money to?
Well, I was unique because I was more of a horse bettor. So I kind of paid as I went. So I didn't have the bookies or the Shylocks to, oh, thank God. And that's one of my yets, actually, you know, because I know if I go back into action, that will happen to me eventually. But for me, I walked into the room. I was petrified. I was broken. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. And right away, people came over to me, greeted me. They, you know, basically said, you're in the right place. Just come sit here and listen to us and be with us and just listen for a while, and you'll see if you belong here. And after about 5 minutes, I knew I belonged there.
Well, is it similar to what we hear about an AA meeting where people get up and they say, hi, I'm Jim. I'm a gambler. you know, let me tell you my story, and then people, you know, talk to them?
Yeah, I mean, we there's an old saying in GA, I mean, there's people we don't know, but it's not people we don't know, it's people we haven't met yet. And, you know, just for example, recently I went to Montreal, and I needed a meeting. I needed to be around GA people. And I went to Montreal, I went to a meeting, and I belong there just like I belong here in Long Island.
How did you find out about the meeting that was going on in Montreal? Because there are meetings going on in every city in America, and in little, I mean, not even a city, but in little places. How did you find out about that meeting in Montreal?
That's great you ask. I actually found out on the internet, but some of the meetings, you end up walking through these little places, these obscure little alleys and this and that. Not that it's a bad thing, but it's just, you know, they just end up in these small little rooms somewhere. And you walk in the door, and, you know, when I was in Montreal, there was just this tiny little room with six chairs sitting there and four people. And I just found that on the internet, though.
Now, I hear that, let's say that you owed a ton of money to the bad guys. I mean, this is what happened with someone I met from GA, and he said that my sponsor, in your case, Dave, said to him, you know what, first thing we got to do is we got to go to the people that you owe money to, and we got to say, I'm going to make it up to you, I'm gonna make good, and I'm going to pay it all back, but you know what, don't break my legs, don't kill me, and if I'm dead, you're not going to get the money. You know, but, you know, I am changing my life around, and the only reason that they believed him is because we know that you're a liar, and at this point, you know, you've lied before, you never paid it before, but the only reason they believed him is because his sponsor was with him. So, Dave, I'm sure you've done that.
That's very accurate information. We first make sure in Gamblers Anonymous that every debt that is incurred, we are liable for, and that's most important. There are a couple of things that I want to tell you about a Gamblers Anonymous meeting. Number one, it's free. There are no dues, there's no fees. It is free. All you have to do is bring your mind and your body. If you have a desire to stop gambling, we can help you today, immediately. All you got to do is call 631-586-7171. There's somebody there to take care of you. When you are out there gambling, there is no hope in your life. There's just no place for you to go. The minute you walk into a Gamblers Anonymous meeting, you find out a couple of things. Number one, there is hope. Number two, you're not unique. Number three, that gambling is your problem, not money. Number four is that you can get out of this problem with our help through the buddy system, a sponsor, a pressure group meeting, but you must become honest. Now, that's not easy because gamblers are compulsive liars, and you have to start somewhere to change your way of life. You have to stop being arrogant. You have to stop being cocky. You have to be humble, and you have to learn this. And that's what your sponsor teaches you. You call your sponsor every day. Your sponsor calls you every day. This is the buddy system. If you have an urge, anything that's not going well in your life, you must call, even if it's not affecting gambling, because gambling is the effect of a feeling, of an attitude, of hopelessness. And this program works and has worked for many people around the world.
Dave, who was your sponsor? Tell me about that relationship.
My sponsor is still in the Gamblers Anonymous program. I still love him dearly. His name is Rocky. I came into the program. I was a professional. He was a guy who worked for utility. He was a guy who dug ditches. Yet one thing he knew that I didn't know, how to stop gambling. And all he said to me was, tell me the truth every day of your life, and I will make your life better. And that's exactly what he did. I went from being a better to having a better way of life.
How did you end up becoming a sponsor? After how long in the organization do you first of all get, and I guess the word isn't cured because you're never cured.
Never cured.
You know, but to a point where you're now have it under control. And then secondly, how do you become a sponsor?
It takes a little while. You really have to understand and go through all the processes, the pressure group, the telephones, the social events, the retreats, the step meetings, everything that you have to go through to become a sponsor. And there's an old expression is, you can't keep what you got unless you give it away. And that's what the sponsor does, and that's what makes this program so successful.
And you speak to your sponsor, Dave, every day? Is that...
Well, Dave is what we would call a silent sponsor for me. He's a guy that I see, you know, once a week, and I talk to about every couple of days. But I actually have a sponsor I do speak with every day, and if I don't, and we actually arrange a time every day where we speak.
And you talk about not only gambling, but you talk about all the types of things that are going on in your life.
I'd say about 2% of the conversation is about gambling. 98% is about other things, filling that void that gambling took all my time. Now, you know, it's all right to stop gambling. Now I have this huge void in my life. My sponsor gives me ideas on how to fill that void.
And it's probably all based on trust. I mean, you can tell them anything and everything in your life and know that it's not going to go anywhere.
My sponsor told me on day one that if I ever break his confidentiality, our relationship is over, and I relayed the same thing to him as well. He said, you know, we will be cordial, we will be friendly, but, you know, this is a deep, deep, deep relationship, and you are not to break anybody's confidentiality in this situation.
How many times do you go to a meeting a week?
That's a great question. You know, a lot of people go to one meeting a week, and to start out with, I actually go to at least anywhere from 5 to 7 meetings a week. I go every day because I need to be around, you know, Gamblers Anonymous right now. I'm very close to, you know, being, you know, away from gambling. I'm only 148 days in, so I have to go every day.
So you go every day.
Absolutely.
And now your life is under control.
My life is so much better in such a short period of time. I walked in January. It's now June, and I'm having a great time.
Do you still owe anybody money at this point?
I have actually 75% of the debt outstanding that I had is paid off. Is in within 5 months, I've paid off 75% of my outstanding debt.
Guys, you have provided such a great service being here. I thank you from the bottom of our heart. Real fast, the numbers to call you at?
631-586-7171 for Nassau and Suffolk County. All others, 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, that wraps it up for this week. Thanks for listening. Keep it here at 88.1 FM. Our email, of course, is tcbradiowcwp@yahoo.com. And our website, again, is tcbradio.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.